Thank you, Lord. In the power of Christ, we stand. It's all about you. And we thank you that we can stand on the firm and sure footing of who you are. And our identity comes from you, Lord. Nothing else but from you. And we lift that to you this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the key things that really changed my life around about 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago was really starting to understand who I was and listening to the Lord about who I was. And that's using language about my original design. We hear that often in terms of science and things. But what was my original design as God's Peter? And even as fundamental of through friends praying for me, asking very specific questions about, God, how have you designed Peter? Hearing even the most basic statement, you are a good man, brought life where I was believing lies that I wasn't much of a man, or that I was a good husband, or I was a good father. And those things completely changed my life because I was beginning to listen to what God was telling me, not what I was believing from the accuser or from my own belief. Now, that doesn't mean I was the perfect husband, but it did mean that God had designed me. God designed me to be a good man. And that meant that that was the foundation upon which I could face each day, each week. And to know that that's where I was and that's how God saw me, even if I messed things up. But there were reasons for that and things that I could do to adjust that. And so the power of knowing who we are is powerful. And I hope we're going to touch a little bit of that this evening for you and for yourself. I've given you notes because I'm going to jump around the scriptures a little bit. And I thought it'd be easier for them to be in your notes to refer, not necessarily now, but to be able to take away and look at them. But let me read from Revelation 12. Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. It's the future when God finally comes back a second time. And they, that is the saints, that is you, that is me. They overcame him, the accuser, the devil, and his minions. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's what God did on the cross for us. Jesus shed his sacrifice on the cross. And by the word of their testimony. The word, it's the language of the power. Words have power. And we know that right from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, when God spoke creation into being. And we know in Proverbs where we hear that the words have the power of life and death. Words destroy or they create. They undermine us or they build us up. They curse or they bless. Let me read John 8:31. If you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is knowing God's word about the world, about him, and about you. And when we know the truth about ourselves, and the truth about the character of God, and how God sees the world, that sets us free from the things that bind us, and the lies that diminish us. Our testimony affects everything that we do. our testimony and how we see the world will expose what we believe to be truth. If I believe that I'm not a very able person, if I'm not loved, if I'm rejected, I'm going to live and do life out of that narrative, out of that world view. If I believe that I'm, say, not a leader or I'm not a teacher, but actually God has given me that gift, I'm going to hold back from stepping into who I am and how I'm supposed to be. It's how we can be discouraged and diminished because we believe the lies of the enemy. A couple of decades ago, the state of the church in this nation was very, very discouraged. It was beaten down. It was the image of empty churches and decline. And there's still a narrative out there that there is a declining church. And in some degrees, that's true. But there is a great deal of growth as well. And there's a new mood, I believe, in this country, within the church, that is hopeful and expectant and believing. And a major part of that over the last 10 or 15 years, I believe, is that we are beginning to recapture what the Church of Jesus Christ is about and what we're about in this country, bringing hope that we're a victorious church, that the victory has been won for us on the cross by Jesus Christ. But prior to that, and still in many parts of the church and in individuals, we live under a place of discouragement and diminishment because we're believing still the lies. I was really saddened about a week ago when I got back. Dave and I were catching up, and because I was on compassionate leave, had to miss a deanery synod, which I was desperately keen to be at. All part of my education and important to be at. No, that's a bit harsh. No, I was sorry to miss it. But he said that there was a vicar who'd come from the Evesham area, I think, to share about what a bishop's mission weekend looks like, which is what we're going to be doing, being a part of in the new year. And he described and said, well, we didn't do much, but we're just the sleepy churches of Evesham, or however he phrased it. But he was... Say again?
Sleepy Anglicans.
That was a member of the church talking about being sleepy Anglicans. There is nothing sleepy about the church, or there shouldn't be. But that is where a large part of the church still exists, and living under that lie that we're being sleepy. Why? Well, it's because those lies have got into us and we don't understand who we truly are. And that is the schemes of the enemy that are getting in. And what we need to do is to understand who we are as individuals, but who we are as a church, and who we are in other areas of our life, and I'll come on to that in a moment. Let me give you an analogy which I found incredibly helpful, and know that Kinetic is just down the road. I'm a little nervous about using a computer as an analogy, but if you can imagine an old computer and its keyboard. Okay, there's a computer. Just the hard box and keyboard of a computer. That's you and I. That's the body. That's you and me as a person. Now, in a computer, how does a computer work? It has an operating system, doesn't it? And I'm just going to... By the way, analogies only go so far, so just bear with me. Okay, so you've got an operating system. Now, the operating system just makes everything work, doesn't it? But the operating system doesn't give you anything. There's no output into the operating system. On top of the operating system is then all the applications, isn't it? Is that basically how a computer works? Some of you all know. Yeah, I'm glad. Well, that's okay then. But my understanding, and as for the analogy, is basically you've got an operating system in the computer, and then that makes all the apps work. That makes you can do a Word document, or you use your WhatsApp, or your email, or whatever it is. Those are all the apps. And the operating, and these apps work from the operating system. Now, if the operating system isn't working properly, then the apps don't work properly. Now, and so for you and I, if we're the physical body, then the operating system is our worldview. How do we see the world? How do we see the kingdom of God? How do we see truth? What is our truth? Is in here. Okay? And then the apps in us are all our gifts. If I'm a teacher or a bodybuilder or a cook or a whatever I am and however I do, that those are the apps. That's the output. And so those only function as out of the operating system and how I how I see the world. So, where does a virus hit a computer? For those, come on, there must be someone else who knows. Say again. Yeah, a virus will come in and attack that, such that it screws up all those things up there. So the viruses come in here to try and affect the operating system. And that's a bit like, this is how the enemy works. So the enemy's lies to you and I are like viruses that come in to muck up what we believe or what is the truth about who we are in Christ. And so if I start believing that actually I'm rather worthless, and then I'm not actually a very good man, that corrupts my operating system and affects everything else that I do. And to some degree, the worst of the viruses, of course, will make the whole thing crash and die. And actually, suddenly hit an emotional spot. There's the crier. You know, to be really vulnerable, that's just what's happened to my brother. Actually, the viruses and the lies have got into his operating system and he's crashed. And so that's what happens to us. And so depending on how many lies and how many accusations that we are accepting into our operating system will affect about how we are living away from what God wants us to live like. And this is where I'm using the language of original design. Because what we want to do is actually get the truth into us and restore the operating system and say to those viruses, get out. We want to scrub the, get our McPhee, is it McAfee? McAfee. Get our antivirus system back in and kick those out so that we can be properly, fully functioning. There are two, as believers, there are two aspects to this, I think, in our operating system. There's both the who are we as a believer, which is all our inheritance. Can you see that? Sorry. Can you see that? There's two aspects. There's who are we as all believers, as believers, that we all inherit. And those are the promises of God within Scripture and beyond. So we are all going to listen to the Lord later. I believe that all of us are designed as believers to hear the Lord's voice for ourselves and for others. And that's part of our destiny. So that's something that I believe that we all have as believers. And then another aspect of it is, who is Peter? Apply your own name. Who are you? Because you are absolutely unique. You're absolutely the most wonderful you that you could ever be, because God created you absolutely uniquely. And that combination of who you are as a believer in Christ and who you are because I am who I am and you are who you are is the most extraordinary thing. We might get into it. I'm conscious of time, but I believe that the scripture shows that what powers this into its perfection is Christ in us, and we'll come into that in a moment. That's, for want of a better phrase, the power source within us. Not quite the life source, but spiritually perhaps. But we'll come on to that in a moment. But truth is what causes that. And of course, we're in a world where what is fake news, what is truth, and that is our huge challenge for us in the world at the moment. What is truth? But I passionately feel that when you hear truth and it lands just here, you know it's truth, even when it seems to counter our culture at the time. We need to recover our operating system. We need to recover the truth about who we are as believers and who we are as the unique individuals. I put in your notes, I think on page 2, we need to recover who our identity is in the Father's love, speaks in Romans 18:14. Our glorious inheritance in Jesus Christ. We recover the truth about our call to destroy all the works of the evil one. When those 12, or when you were on Sunday a week ago, the 72 went out, they went out to destroy what the enemy had robbed. And they took it back. They took it back by healing the sick and casting out demons. And we need to restore the truth of our commission to strengthen the bride and go into all nations, Matthew 28:18. God's design and purpose is unique, and he has one for every single one of us. And that also goes for the things around us. All Saints and St. Andrew's and St. Mary's, and every church has its own unique identity. Because God has that group of people in those places for that time. For those that run businesses, you have a unique original design for your business. The school that you work at, the community that you're in, all has a unique original design. And the beauty and the power of being able to say, okay, Lord, what is the original design for this business of mine I'm in? And you start unpicking, and that can and should start driving us as to how we operate and work in those places. What's the original design for a marriage? That is one of the most beautiful things, to sit down and have some people say, okay, Lord, what is the original design for this marriage? It might be pastoral things. It might be hospitality. They call all sorts of things that go in saying, what does our marriage look like? What are the boundaries that the Lord wants us to flourish in? Cities, businesses, nations all have original designs, personalities. Each of us are significant and unique and special, and we have special callings, and we want to actually be able to reclaim that knowledge and that truth. Because what? If you know the truth sets you free. I think I've shared a little bit of my testimony of the fear that I used to live in. I used to wake up in the morning just to face each day with a sort of gut-wrenching fear. And to discover that was, I thought it was normal. That's what everybody felt, I thought. But to then to have people around me praying and saying, but that's not normal. And actually the truth is, you're a man of courage and you're a man of destiny and words of encouragement about who I am. And then to overcome that, that's the overcoming. Going back to that first scripture, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God for what you did on that cross. And then by the word of my testimony, Jesus, I am courageous. Enemy, fear, be gone in the name of Jesus. And stand on that strength. It sounds simple, and in many cases it is simple. It isn't always, it needs more prayer than that. And those that have been in part of healing ministry and prayer, you'll understand that. We'll all understand it. It doesn't always come just like that, but it can do. But the one thing is, knowing the truth and speaking out the truth, the power of speaking out and declaration. There was an American pastor that I had some contact with called Steve Thompson. And he was saying, I will make a very poor someone else, but I can make an excellent me. And I think that's a wonderful phrase about, I know that we're all vulnerable to comparison, aren't we? We always look at the other person, oh, I wonder if I should be like that. I've become a really aware now, having stepped into my curacy, about how much I'm thinking about a church leader who was very influential in a most amazing and positive way. But I can often find myself thinking, I wonder what he would have done, or how would he have done it? And I'm suddenly thinking, I've suddenly thought, hang on, Peter is Peter. I've got to work out how Peter is a church leader and a curate, not trying to work out how he did it. I'm going to be, and every one of you will be, an excellent you. And that's the joy of finding out the truth of our original design. Who am I? And it's so encouraging. I was always concerned. I loved children's work. And it's true to say, at the time, my children were small, and I loved just getting on my hands and knees and mucking around with the children. I was slightly worried about being a bloke, whether that was a particularly manly thing. Was that okay? Was that the right thing I wanted to be? You know, should I not be enjoying that? So, and it was a time where it was worrying me, especially as I was beginning to think, should I pull out of kids' work and that sort of thing? And then on three separate occasions, through prayer, of original design, where people were specifically saying, okay, God, how did you make Peter? People who didn't know me, and they all made some comment about being made for the to embrace and enjoy small children and how they think. And I just thought, I needn't worry that there's something wrong with me. I mean, I know that's, you know, just, but it, you know, it was a masculine thing that was worrying me. But it was real. It was very, very real. But actually, God said that you're meant, that's great. Enjoy colouring. Enjoy doing that. You're designed to be like that. The freedom that comes when you hear things like that is just enormous. And there can be someone, you may recognise this, a sort of false humility in the church. Do you sort of recognise the sort of behaviour that says, oh, woe me, I'm just a worm, really. I'm just sinful, and I'm a bit of a worm, really. But thank you for saying whatever you said, but I'm really not worthy. Do you recognise that in the church? It's a sort of a, it's actually a complete, it's a false humility. It's not humility at all. And I'm not suggesting that people intentionally, you know, are doing that. But actually, we need to challenge that, because we are made extraordinary. And actually, humility is agreeing with God as to who you are. Humility is saying, gosh, God, you've made me amazing. and actually believing the truth of what God says to you, not what we either think or coming in under what the Lord tells us. Now, that doesn't mean we're arrogant or imposing onto other people, but it does mean we can walk around with our chest puffed out saying, do you know what? God loves me. I'm a good man. I get it wrong most days and most of the time, but God made me a good man, and therefore I can be confident in that and work on being a good man and living in that confidence and that agreement with God. It's quite actually, I heard this quite recently. For those that know, forgive me if it means nothing to you, but the church has been very heavily influenced by a doctrine that St. Augustine put together about original sin. Some of you will make sense and that means something to you, maybe it won't. But I heard someone, and so there can be a little bit of, oh, I'm a worm, you know, the original sin, we're all, you know, dreadful and et cetera, et cetera. And that's really affected the operating system of the church, because it has put, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, the doctrine, but it can be overemphasized and therefore putting ourselves down a little bit. And someone wrote this quite recently. I think the church needs to refocus on not our original sin, but actually our original goodness. And I love that. You and I were originally created good. Humanity was originally created perfect and wonderful and glorious. Okay, a few things went wrong in between. But it's wonderful. God has come back to redeem that. And I think we need to, I just thought that was lovely. We need to stop thinking about our sin, as it were, and rebalance the scales into remembering and thinking about our original goodness. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Now, we've got a few minutes before we're going to pray for one another. And I'm going to set that up. Don't worry. I don't know whether that's an exciting thing that's going into your hearts at the moment or a panic. Don't worry. But let me just step into perhaps the next stage of teaching, if we had another 45 minutes, which we don't. But let me just share this. Because I think in this all comes about, what's the impact of this? And it's, as I mentioned, it's about Christ in us, Christ in you and me. And I'm just going to touch on that. Now, I believe that the Bible teaches that we're made up of a number of things, probably lots of things, but we're body and soul. And soul harnesses our imagination, our feelings, that internal sort of processing. And that is a picture of, a very simple picture of the non-believer. Their body, their soul, they live life through their emotions, their feelings, their imaginations, etc., their mind, their thoughts. A believer body, soul, and then spirit. And when we say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and awakens our spirit. And we then have Christ in us. Now, there's a wider teacher, or more in-depth teaching, but Paul refers to Christ in us 89 times in his letters. It is a really central piece of understanding. That Christ, when you say yes to him, by the Holy Spirit, comes and dwells within us and brings our spirit alive. So we're body, soul, and spirit. I think it's Colossians, says, in Christ was the fullness of the deity of God. Do we all agree that Jesus was fully God as well as fully human? The Christ in Christ was the fullness of the deity of God. And you and I have the fullness of Christ in us. That means you have the fullness of God in you. Now, when we grasp that, the implications are massive. Ephesians 1:3 says that we have all spiritual blessings are available to us. Every spiritual blessing is available to us. Not some, but all spiritual blessings are available. Scriptures also talk that we sit in the heavenly realms on the right hand of God with Christ. Christ is now sitting on the right hand of God. That's a place of authority. That's what that's talking about. Saying that Jesus has the authority of God. And the scriptures, and it's in your notes, we are sat with Christ in heavenly places as believers. So what I'm saying is that in you and I, we are fully armed and we are very dangerous. Enemy, watch out. Because we are one of those 72. We are one of those 12s with the authority, because Jesus said, I send them out with the authority to cast out demons and heal the sick. And you and I have that within us. But the enemy has done an absolute number on the church in not believing that. And there are still plenty of people who don't believe that healing, etc., miraculous healing is possible. And that is part of the enemy's number against us. The joy is being able to have testimonies. And I know there are testimonies, and we've heard testimonies of miraculous healing amongst us as a church community. And you will have your own stories of where you've seen breakthrough in those sort of things as well. But if we can grasp who we are in Christ and believe it and then start living it out, stand by, enemy, because we will take the enemy at the fight to the enemy, and the kingdom of God will flourish in this nation and in our communities. Now, there are many reasons why we don't see that, and those are more teachings, and that's the schemes of the enemy, and there are other things in there, and there are mysteries. There are some things that we can see in the Bible, and there are other things that we can't see, and we'll just trust the Lord because he's ultimately sovereign. But one of the beautiful things, if we can start resetting our operating system into believing and knowing who we are in Christ, so the energy and the excitement and the possibilities are extraordinary and endless. So, one of the things I'd like to do now is for us to hear a little bit of what the Lord created us to be. And so, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to get into threes. And we're going to pray for one another. Now, every one of you is designed to hear the Lord. Some of you, that may feel very comfortable and you're used to hearing the Lord. Some of you, that may be a new revelation. And that's okay. That's fine. So what we're going to do, so let me tell you how we're going to do it, and then I'll give some guidance about rules and approach, for want of a better phrase. What we're going to do is just get together in threes. And then we're going to ask the Lord a very specific question for one of the group. Okay? And the question is, Lord, how did you make this person? Now, just to re-emphasize that the Old Testament and the Bible is full of places and stories where people go and ask very specific questions of the Lord. So it's totally okay to ask very specific questions in case there's any doubt. And I'm going to do some more teaching on hearing God's voice at the seminar Sunday if you'd like to explore that further. But you're going to ask a very specific question. You're looking for three things. So you're going to ask, Lord, could you give me three things about how you made this person? And then in faith, you're going to just write what comes into your mind. Okay? Don't try and think about it. Don't try and just trust the Lord that you will hear him. And so that's going to be two people are going to listen for the third person. And the third person, you listen for yourself. Say, Lord, how did you make me? And then note those things down. And I'm hoping that each of us will go away with 9 things that affirm who we are. Okay? So we're all given, if it all works, 3 things each. Okay? Now, just listening to the Lord. We are listening for how God created the other person. That means it's going to be a good thing. So if you suddenly got a picture of a rotten branch and the word said sinner, that's not an answer to the question. It's also the enemy getting in. And we're going to shut the enemy up in a moment. It's just the language, just going to silence the enemy and make sure that he doesn't get in. And it could be as simple as, do you know, you're a good man. I needed endlessly to hear for a good year or 3, regularly, that God made me a good man. And so it may be as simple as that. It doesn't have to be intricate, it could just be. But it is about who that person has made. If you get a picture, amen. But if you say get a picture of a tree, if you then write down you're a tree, that doesn't make a great deal of sense. That's okay, So if you get a picture of a tree, you might then like to ask, Lord, what do you mean about that person by giving me a picture of a tree? And the Lord may then, that person is oaks of righteousness, or they're steadfast, or they're strong. So there'll be something else. Does that make sense? So we could get pictures, we could get scriptures, we might just get words. Is any of that freaking anybody out or deeply concerning anybody? And come and say if you're worried in a moment.
Well, you say that we do it in rotation, so that each person
Yes. So we're going to do 10 minutes. I'm sort of allowing 10 minutes for each person. So we're going to do this over sort of 20 minutes, half an hour. But if we finish earlier because the Lord zaps just like that, amen, then that's fantastic. So I would suggest not being in the same group with a spouse or someone you know really, really well. But that's just a suggestion. You don't have to. What other things did I want to encourage you about? This is about faith. If you don't normally listen to the Lord or hear the Lord, just step out in faith. The Lord will speak. Trust what you get. Just be calm. I'm going to pray for all of us in a moment. But just trust what comes to your mind. If it's a negative thing, then it's not from God. This is all about blessing. This should be fun. You're supposed to leave this evening excited and uplifted, okay? So there's a positive side to it all. Okay, let me do that. Let me pray. This is what I'm going to do, and this is what I would do every time before I pray when we're looking for real answers. I would shut up the enemy, because we have that authority, because we have Christ in us, and we've just silenced the enemy. I'd also shut up my flesh. I just say, I know this person, or I don't know, but I don't want this to come from me. I want this to come from the enemy. I want this to come from the Lord. I want this to come from the Lord. And then I, through experience, and I know, you know, it's just through experience that actually that is really honoured. Those things really work. And I know through its experience that that becomes apparent to us and we trust what we're giving. The other thing is that what we get, so if I get something, I'm not saying to Neil, this is the word of the Lord. I'm offering it to Neil for Neil to go away and take away and test. Now, I believe passionately that most of what comes is from the Lord, because that's just the testimony and the experience I have. But at no point should any of us impose anything on anybody else. But if I'm saying to Neil, I've got a word saying you're a good man, by the way, you are a good man. Don't need the Lord to say that. But if I was saying something like, Neil, you're a good man, and Neil's response to that is, well, I'm not, then there's a further discussion, because actually I would encourage in that that there's a lie that Neil is offering. Sorry to pick on you, that's okay. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Brilliant. Now, you should have three pieces of paper. You're going to hand two of those pieces of paper with truth to the other person. And in about half an hour's time, I'm going to bring us back. Or if we think we've finished, then I'll bring us back quicker. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're going to loose truth. And that truth is going to bring freedom to each and every one of us this evening. And in the authority I have in Christ Jesus, and it's Jesus' authority, I bind up the enemy and I silence his lies. He will not speak as we pray. And I also bind up our own flesh and our own knowledge of each other, so that the still voice of truth from God and the Holy Spirit is what's released in our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.